Please rise for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And John 8:3-11. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. But Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. And Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." The word of the Lord.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, brother.
So today's topic, we as a church, we're going through the book of Proverbs. So it's a series that we started in January, and we've been going through work. Another church has been going through parenting. The last Sunday, our pastor, Tim, he spoke about happiness. He said that he's not going to steal my thunder about mentioning about the speech, but he did. I was joking with him about it, because the challenge with the Proverbs is that they're interconnected. So when we speak about one, we're touching the other one. So I told Tim, come on, it's okay. Today specifically, even though last Sunday was about happiness, this week is about speech. And when we speak about speech today, my mission is in two pieces, that it's just only one. It's about an exhortation, about watching your words, but also to come and to hear Jesus' speech. And I'm going to pass around some of the research. Tim did this research. I just put it nicely and together. But our pastor, as we were preparing for this Sunday, we prepared kind of like everything that the book of Proverbs has about speech. And I thought it will be beautiful that we already have this work. This is going to be just in case you want to explore deeper into the topic of speech or any particular area that you feel drawn to, that you need to grow. Please feel free to just check it out later. Today, we're probably going to focus, as I said, in just two parts of speech. One is just, why do we need to watch our words? And why don't we go? Or why don't we come and listen to the speech of Jesus? And when we talk about speech, I think our brother Joe, the song that he picked in the beginning, let me see if I have it here. He says, actually, it's a song. He read the song. I was like, what is it? What's the song? No, what's the song? Which is a song. But he was talking about something that is the basis of the speech. It's that God, you created the world with your word. If there is something that we have to understand and never forget, is that God created the ability to communicate. He set the first example on how powerful words are. He created everything we see through his word. If there is any power about behind words, has to be seen through him. And I was deeply moved when Joe read that psalm, because that psalm clearly states that he created everything with your word. He ordained every detail of life with his word. His word has power, and we are God-like in that sense. We're able, if we check some of this, you will see the power of the world to build, and you see the power of the word, of our words to destroy. And as I said today, the way to explain this, it will be in three sections. One is like, I will invite you again to check this out. If you ought, this is a question for everybody, it's open. Yes, I want to know your answer. If we, for example, we see here Proverbs and speech, how to speak, right? And why? How not to speak and why? And you see all these variety of topics and opportunities or must do, not do, and why. If you ought to think about one thing that might be able to control, if you can put a button on this and control speech, like in one single centerpiece, what would it be according to the Bible? I know that we have people, everybody here reads the Word of God. I don't know you, but I'm sure you did. And you may have an idea. If there is something that we could do to control all of this, what would it be?
The heart.
Mm-hmm. How does the heart express it? How do you control the heart? Well, we're talking about controlling. I don't disagree. What I'm saying is, how do you control the heart? Because you're into the point, but how do you control the heart so your speech doesn't go out? So your speech can be go into, for example, if we check here, it will say the first thing is how to speak. The first thing it says with restraint. And we can read the verses of it. If there is one thing, even James, as the book of Proverbs also, he says, just control your tongue. Because all our heart builds in, and we're going to get there, how our heart is a brewing system. But it's a pipe that comes out that is our tongue. And there are multiple gateways, multiple dams that we can control their speech or restrain, as it says in our first line here, and it's through controlling the tongue. It's just something to go and reflect, not because we don't know it, but it's because we need it. Because as I said, the words have so much power to create and to destroy that at least having a button is like, let's control it at least. And let me think before it's just the tongue. That's what James says. If a man has the ability to restrain his tongue, he actually talked about how wise and the ability to control the whole body. And I'm going to go straight to the point. If Jesus, our Lord, that is calling us to gather tonight, wants us to know one thing. Because I was talking with Jay, I was talking with Tim about the preparation for today. And I told him, this topic is massive, right? We have so many areas of life that we can improve to build others up, but also how do I prevent destroying? But I pray, and as we were seeking the Lord's counsel on this, what will be something that we need today? It's related to, or is connected to one of the biggest research about speech that exists and it's been done, and the data. In this case, this data that I'm going to share, I'm going to say why it was so connected with what we thought, and also we found the data. This is from the National Science Foundation. A study found, I'm just going to read straight from it. Study found that most of us have between 60 to 80,000 individual thoughts, or which each thought has a bunch of words, right? And 80% of those thoughts are negative. It's just data that exists. And when we compare the speech that we produce and the speech that we keep, which is the internal speech, which one do you think is bigger in production of words or content? The external or the internal? It's the internal, right? Because even when you ought to produce something, you've got, it's something already happening, right? So, and that's a call that today Jesus wants for us, that the Lord, we feel drawn to, and we feel called from the Lord to talk about, which is the internal speech. We produce a lot of speech, but there is a massive amount of words and content that we deal with ourselves. And that's why we read Proverbs 16, verse 24. And I'm going to read it again. And it says, gracious words are like honeycomb, like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. When we speak about gracious words, it's something that naturally we ought to be taught. Because as we said, by nature, what exists in us, it's what? And if you check yourself and reflect yourself, what is it? What type of content do I chew on? Do I ruminate on? I don't know your experience, but the data is saying you're likely thinking the majority of the time. We don't know if it's up to 80%, as the study says. Just a negative. Some sort of negative connotation about someone, yourself, the situation. When we take these proverbs that says gracious words or kind words, it's confronting this day, right? Well, how do I find these gracious words? You know, and that's why we want to go straight to the gospel to see how that gracious word and that internal thought or that internal battle played out. And I found that one of the best way to see it is through the vulture's womb. Can you imagine what was going through her brain at that moment on the floor crying when everybody was just accusing her? Mm-hmm. And we're going to see two types of speech right there. The external speech that's coming out of the Pharisees and the internal speech that was clear. Likely being affected by the Pharisees, but the internal too. She knew she committed sin. She was not fighting. I did not. Of course, she recognized. She was having an internal battle. We don't know. I don't know the words, but we can see it clearly. And my question is, where are you in these two groups? If you ought to think, take a moment to breathe. And reflect. In this scenario that Jesus is being faced on and confronting, you have the Pharisees with their internal speech producing something against this woman. And we have this woman already battling an internal battle that probably we cannot see, and they did not see it. And we have Jesus there. Where are you? When it comes to your internal battle, your internal speech, your internal talking, your self-talking, what is the content that you are wrestling with at home when you're resting? I always say when I go to bed and I rest my head on the pillow, many things happen. Things, people think it's like, oh, it's going to bed. My brain just start analyzing and decompressing and chewing on, it's like, you know, sometimes it's smart, sometimes it's like, but it's happening. It's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you're wrestling with? You may be on the other side sometimes when you are just grilling somebody or, you know, attacking somebody. What is happening there? Where is that coming from? Of course, coming from the heart. That's why Audrey pointed it so well. We have to go to the center of our thoughts, of our heart, of our emotions, there where things are happening. And that's where Jesus wants us to meet. Doesn't want to meet you only in the external, which he does. He wants to meet you in your internal body. And as I said in the beginning, as it applies to our external speech sometimes. And I will invite you today, even in this moment as a time, because when are we going to do it? Can we control that internal speech for a second? That accusation, that shame. I'm not saying get rid of it or just ignore it, but just dial it down. So at least Jesus can be heard. That's the internal speech that Jesus wants us to meet today. And to end, family, brothers and sisters, what was the answer that Jesus gave to this woman? Can somebody tell me if you remember at the top of your head?
He addresses to the accusers and gets them to leave. And then he asks her if anyone has condemned her. And she says, no, and neither do I.
Finish.
Now go sin no more.
We got to see it all. A lot of Christians will stop sometime in one piece. I was intentional about it because where I do it, but Jesus is a whole. As he brings forgiveness, he asks for holiness. And both of them are together. That's why Jesus meets our internal battle and transforms our bodies to sin no more. In his grace, in his power. One of my experiences and one of my internal battles for years, I didn't know where it was coming from. I did not know, but I had it. Which it was, you might not be a Christian. That thought, only that thought. You might not be a Christian. Deep doubt. What if it's different ways? What if you're not a Christian? Man, that was just breaking me. Not. Because that type of question and situation brings some reality. Am I not me? I'm not enough. I know that. But it was destroying me, right? In that internal battle, I didn't know what was happening, who was doing it, where was this coming from. And I don't know your internal battle. But if there is one thing I know, the shame, the accuser, the battle needs to meet Jesus. When I read in the Gospels that Jesus went through the same accuser, if you are the Son of God, what a tricky question. It's already assuming you might not be. Sometimes I feel like, oh, he's empowering me. It's like, oh, he's daring me. He's doubting you at the same time. It's just a very nasty, evil question. Mm-hmm. And this battle that we have is not against flesh and blood. Yeah. It's a battle that is a spiritual battle that needs to meet Jesus. And I don't know how many times you have met him. If this is your first time, don't let it pass. Let him meet him today. And if you experienced that before, you need him more, not less. I remember when that thought came back, that internal battle, that speech, that sometimes my speech, it could be the enemy's speech. Regardless of it, it needs to meet Jesus as this woman met him. And I remember saying to this accuser, and I didn't know exactly, I thought, I believe it's an enemy, whatever it is, I told him, what if you're not a Christian? I told him, don't ask me. Ask him. Don't ask me. Don't talk to me. That's when you have to stop some conversations. That's part of Proverbs. I'm telling you, just keep digging. You have to stop some speeches getting into your life, some content penetrating into your hearts. You just need the speech of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I told him, don't talk to me. He told me I am. Go, he will explain. Did he come back? Did not. He was powerful. Did I do it? He did it. I invite you, dial down the noise and the thoughts you need the speech of Jesus. Watch your words. Dial down all the speeches. Make it louder, the one from Jesus. Because the Jesus is the example. And this is what he wants. This is the gospel in Proverbs. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Check the effect. You will find Jesus in this. Sweetness to the soul, the internal. But he's all together. And health to the body. Jesus wants you completely. Not a piece of you, not a part of you, no one part of your past, one part of your trauma, one part of your struggle, one part of your happen. He wants you all. And my encouragement is this afternoon. You will watch, you will understand why you need to watch your words above all things. Just come, listen to Jesus' speech. He says, who is condemning you? Send him over. That's for the accuser. That's for the thought. That's for the trauma. That's for the darkness in you, in us. But the other part that he's calling us to is, come on, join the family. My blood, my body paid a price. So sin no more. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Because our Jesus is our sweet Jesus. He is our honeycomb. He's the sweet thing for our bodies, for our soul. He's our health. And we worship you because the transformation that you call us to is not partial. Jesus, not only Father, gave part of himself. He poured all of it. He drank no part of the cup of your wrath, but he drank the whole cup. So we can be clean and holy before you. Who are the accusers? We send them to Jesus. Father, help us. Just to listen to him, to be transformed by his speech. We ask you this, Father, in the name of your Son. Amen.